we are having a special class on Megillah Esteros. It doesn't look like we will be able to accomplish the whole Megillah in this class. We'll try to do it in depth. You're invited to check online. We should have other classes on TorahForMe.org where we did cover the whole Megillah. Our learning is going to revolve primarily around the Malbim's explanation, a little bit of Midrashim here and there, and we'll dedicate our learning to Rachel Leah Bat Moshe. It was voted that we read the Megillah with the tune, so I'll read it with the tune before I translate. You'll notice that the whole Megillah, other than eight verses, every pasuk begins with the letter Vav. There's a concept of continuum in the Megillah. The Megillah is read on Shavuos traditionally, as the Megillah tells us the history of King David. There's a fantastic medrash on the Megillah that says that there are no halachas in this Megillah. The whole point of the Megillah is to teach us the weight of kindness. The weight of kindness. Chesed. That's the message of the Megillah. Even though technically we do derive halachas from the Megillah, but that's not the main point of the Megillah. The main point of the Megillah is the concept of Chesed. On Shavuos, when all of the people of Israel became Geirim, we all came under the wings of the Shekhinah, we read the story of Rus, the story of the convert who came under the wings of the Shekhinah. It's a message to all of us. We are to remember our roots. We are to remember that our greatest kings came from a fantastic woman named Rus, who was not Jewish born. And she brought great light to the Jewish people. She brought the Davidic dynasty and the Mashiach. And her greatness was in her kindness. Sometimes we get carried away with the teachings that we have, and we have a hard time seeing the good in other people. We will see in the Megillah how Rus doesn't know enough about modesty. When she goes to harvest, she's standing around with the guys. And sometimes you could look at a girl standing around with the guys and wonder, what's with her? Remember that the mother of the Davidic dynasty also started off that way. We don't judge a person externally. We don't. Our job isn't to judge a person. Our job is to value a person. God has to judge people. It's His job. It's not ours. We see in our Megillah tremendous, tremendous kindness on behalf of Rus, Boaz, Naomi. The basic story, there's a famine. There's a great leader of the Jewish people who leaves Israel to the Moabite fields with his wife and two kids. He dies, his two kids die. His wife comes back to Israel with her two daughters-in-law. One leaves her, the other one remains. She converts to Judaism. Her name is Rus, that daughter-in-law. And ultimately, Rus ends up marrying Boaz, the leader of the Jewish people, and having the Davidic dynasty. Let's begin. We're talking about a period where there were no judges, where the judges were not respected. When the judges would try to judge, the people would look at them and say, how could you tell me to give this back when you're a thief yourself? And the people had a righteous claim. The judges were not up to par. And so you had a situation where the nation was in a state of anarchy. People didn't feel they had to respect authority because they didn't value the authority, and the authority did not deserve the respect that it needed. And so there was a danger in the land of Israel. There was a state of anarchy, and there was a famine. And the famine came because the people were not living the way they should. The leaders weren't the way they should, nor were the leaders. And so those who were wealthy had more to lose, because when there's anarchy, so then if you have money, you're in danger from the mobs. And so, Vayelech ish mi beit lechem Yehuda. A man. And when we use the word ish, ish connotes a human being that has a right to the title ish. A man worthy. Ish comes from the word yesh. Ish is its own root. He is a man. Ordinarily we say there are homo sapiens. There are creatures that are born standing on 2 feet and have a pulse. But they don't have the right to the name ish. Ish is a person that has God with him. Ish is a person that has Tzelem Elohim. That you could say that man is created in the form of God. Ish is a reference to a person on a specific level. So this man was on that level. He was one of the leaders of the Jewish people. He was one of the sages of the Jewish people. And he went from Beit Lechem Yehudah, from one of the greatest towns of the Jewish people, Lagur Bistei Moav, Hu Veishto Ushnei Vanav. And he went with the intent that he will just go for a period as a sojourner, Lagur, in the fields of Moab. He didn't even go to the city. He was going to stay out there with his wife and two kids till it's time to come back. He was concerned that the mobs would come and take everything he owned And so he left. And when he left, the Jewish people looked and saw our leader, our rabbi. He left for Chutz La'aretz because of the famine, and everyone felt weakened. He was the only one who did it. The other rabbis did not leave. The other leaders did not leave. And he will pay a heavy price for having left the land of Israel and the people of Israel. And the different midrashim attribute his fall to different things. Some say it was the idea that he didn't want to give the charity. He was more concerned about what would happen with the mobs. Some say it was the idea that he left Israel for Chutz La'aretz. And some say it was the idea that he turned his back on his people. At a time of need, he ran and protected himself. So he was prepared to come back and save the people. The Medrash says, Eli Melech, to me will come the throne. His name connotes the potential he had. He could have been the king of Israel. He had that potential. Our sages say that when a person dies without children, then if his wife remarries within the family, the next child that comes takes on some of the spirit of that person. That's why we say when a brother does not do Yibum, when he doesn't marry the widowed sister-in-law, we take off the shoe. The shoe is a reference to the body. The body in this earth that houses the soul is referred to as the shoe for the soul. It's like what the soul stands in here on this planet. And she's taking off the shoe. She's saying, look, there's a man that did not want to give a continuum to his brother. So the Davidic dynasty comes from the child that is the continuation of the soul of Elimelech's son. Elimelech that said, his name connotes the concept that he was fit for kingdom, for kingship, for ruling the Jewish people. It is really his descendants that are the Davidic dynasty. It's not his descendants in a biological way. It's really his uncle, his brother, his uncle who marries Rus, who then has a child who we have on tradition. The Torah indicates that when they have a child, that child is in a way bringing back the spirit of the deceased husband who was Elimelech's son. You guys with me? You follow? So the man's name. So he went with his wife and his two sons. V'shem ha'ish Elimelech v'shem ishto Naomi v'shem shnei banav Machlon v'chilion Ephratim mibet lechem Yehudam. The man's name was Elimelech, which we discussed. And his wife's name was Naomi, and they were all tzaddikim. And his sons' name were Machlon and Chilion. They were Ephratim. The city of Beis Lechem was originally called Ephrat, named after Kalev's original wife Ephrat, who was a very important woman. And then later on it got the name of Beit Lechem. Ephrat means important person. And they were from the finest aristocratic family in Beis Lechem, Yehuda. And when they got to Chutz La'aretz, they settled down. Many, many people go to Chutz La'aretz with the thought, I'm just going on shlichut, I'm just going for business, I'm just going for a year or two, I'm just going to come back to Israel with better finances. And the Megillah tells us it's not what happened. They remained them. They remained there. They decided to remain there. Vayamot Elimelech ish Naomi. And when they decided to stay in Chutz La'aretz, and according to some Midrashim, that is the message of this Megillah, Elimelech died. And the Pasuk describes him in a very interesting way. The Pasuk describes him as the husband of Naomi. That's his claim to fame. Well, when he left Israel, where he was famous for his piety and his greatness, and he went to the Moabites fields. So there, he was known as Naomi's husband. There he wasn't known anymore as the great Elimelech. In Israel, where he was really one of the giants, there he was known as Elimelech. Our sages say from this pasuk, "En ha'ish met el al ishto." When a man dies, the person who suffers the brunt of his death is his wife. That's why the pasuk describes it as though the husband of Naomi died, because from her perspective and from the world's perspective, the one who really suffers the brunt of his death is the wife. And he is described as her husband to point out to us that she didn't have much of a choice in the matter. He chose to go to Chutz La'aretz, and being his wife. She went along, but she wasn't interested in it. And then the Pasuk uses a word which is also problematic. The Pasuk says, "Vatisha'er hi u'shnei vaneh," and she and her two sons remained. Usually we speak about remained, you know, when you eat 3/4 of the cake, so then we say, what'd you leave over? What you left over is usually less than what you took. The Pasuk says, she and her two sons were left over. Well, if out of 4 people, one person dies, you don't usually describe the other 3 as left over. That term is a bit problematic. And so our sages say that they became leftovers like in a mincha sacrifice. When you bring a mincha sacrifice, a flower sacrifice, you take just a handful and you leave the whole bunch. And just exactly 3 fingers full, a kometz goes up on the altar. And yet that kometz is the most important part. That's the part that's sacrificed. And the idea here is that he was like that important part. Yes, technically they were 3, but he was the important holy part of the family. He was the father of the family who was like the holy part of the mincha that actually gets sacrificed. So they remained like the remainder of the mincha. Yes, they numbered 3, he numbered 1, but he was the prime part of the home. So they married Moabite women, Machlokas and the Medrash, whether they did gir or not. One's name was Orpah, otherwise known as Harapha. She had children who were giants. She had children who had 6 fingers on hand, and they were great Philistine warriors against Israel. Goliath was her son or grandson or great-grandson, whatever. V'shem ha-sheni Rut. And the second one's name was Rut, Moabite names. V'yeshivu sham ke'esel shanim. And they settled down there for 10 years. For 10 years. And the question is, if her Moabite name was Ruth, why didn't it change when she became a Gioris? Yeah. Right? Should have changed her name. And so our sages say that the name Ruth has more depth to it. The name Ruth is Gematria Tafrei Shvav, 606, which are the number of mitzvahs that she added when she became a Gioris. We don't go like Maimonides, who says there are 620 mitzvos, gematria keter. We say there are taryag mitzvos. Maimonides says the 7 Noahide laws are not included in the 613. But we don't go with that. We say that there are 613 including the 7 Noahide laws, which would mean that she added 606 mitzvos. We'll get to you in a second. So that's one reason. Another reason our sages say is that she had a great-great-grandson who was Rivau LaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave so many songs of praise before God, and that was also alluded to by her name. Yes?
If Orpah's children were Moabites, how did they end up fighting for the Philistines?
Excellent question. Maybe one day we'll get to it. Not tonight. Vayamutu gam sheneihem machlon v'chilion v'tisha'er ha'isha mishnei yeladeha u'meisha. So they too died. They lost all their assets. And the two sons, Machlon and Chilion, died. And she remained left over from her two sons and her husband. And the Pasuk describes their marriage not as Vayikchu Lahem. That's the way it would have described in Pasuk Dalet if it was a legal marriage. But rather Vayis'u Lahem. And in Tanakh, generally the term Lisa is a reference to a marriage that is not in accordance with halacha. It's interesting that in Israel they don't... one's wife, who married first? The younger brother married first. And he married the woman who was less pious. So he had no excuse. If Machlon had married Rus first, so then Chilion could say, you know, I saw he got such a tzadekis out here in Moabite territories, I thought I'd try my shot too. But Chilion, the younger brother, he got married first. And his wife ended up joining enemy forces. And only then does Machlon marry the pious Rus. And 10 years are almost up. Our sages say if a woman is widowed for 10 years and she has no hope of ever remarrying, if she has no thoughts of remarrying, then she won't be able to have kids afterwards. So ask me how that works. No, doesn't Rabbi Gun always say, ask me how? How does that work? I don't know how that works. But that's what it says. So almost 10 years pass, and then her two sons die, and she's left penniless. Vatakom hi vechaloteha vatashov miste Moav. So she got up, and the first thought they have is, this place has really not done us good. We came here rich, we came here with a big family, so we gotta leave, you know, this place hasn't done us any good. So she gets up to leave, and her daughters-in-law are with her, they're leaving. And they're traveling down the road to leave the fields of Moab. But, ki shame'ah bisdei Moab, ki fakad Adonai et amol latet lahem lachem. She is going with the intent. She's heard that in Israel the famine is over. Boaz has been praying and God accepted his prayer and the famine is over. So she is thinking, I'm going back to Israel. So in the first stage of the process, when she just left the place she was at, so then her two daughters-in-law were with her, because the idea was, here it ain't going good, we gotta leave. Our mazel isn't doing good here, we're not having good luck in this place. And then they start going down the path. It's the middle of Yom Tov, but they're about to die of hunger. It's Pikuach Nefesh. And she is headed down the path that leads to the land of Yehuda. And when they reach the border at the end of Moabite territory, and she sees they're still with her, so she turns to them, Vatomer Naomi lishtei chaloteha, and she says to her two daughters-in-law, Leich nashovna isha levetima. Return, each one go back to your mother's house. Don't go wandering around here. If you want to get a proper shidduch, the way to do it is to go back to your parents' home. Don't be free out there and get yourself your own home and your own parnasa. No. Go back to your parents' home. Now, you don't know where your fathers are, because usually we assume that in the world, people don't really know who their father is. That's our assumption. We say, by us we do, but otherwise we assume you only know who the mother is. So go back to your mother's home, she says to them. Ya'as Adonai imachem chesed kasher asitem imametim v'imadi. And God should, she blesses them, God should give them kindness, just as they did kindness with the deceased, that they took care of the burial, when technically the mother should have. They forewent all the money that they owed them from the marriage contract, and that was kindness that they did to Naomi. And she said, you guys went above and beyond the call of duty, and so God should bless you, and things should go well for you. Yitein Adonai lachem umtzena menucha isha beit isha. And she continues her blessing and says, and I wish you that you should find peace in your husband's homes. Vatisha aklahein, and she kisses them with the intent of saying goodbye. Vatisena kolan vativkena, and then they raise their voice and they weep together. Vatomar nala, and in unison they tell her, we weren't coming here just to leave there. Ki itach nashuv leamech, but we're thinking to go back with you. We want to go back and live in Israel. Notice, no one said they want to do gir. No one said they want to become Jewish. They said, we thought we're going back with you and we're going to live together in Israel. Now at this point, the halacha was not yet known whether a Moabite woman may marry into the Jewish people. So one of the points here is going to be, you're not going to get any shidduch. You come back to Israel, that's it. You're never going to get married. Who's going to marry you? And Be'ezrat Hashem, you guys can catch the rest of the story online. We're out of time. It's possible, if you want, that we'll have some learning on Shavuos itself. But then I won't.